Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. Hour 2 is always sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member FDIC. Location in South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th and Pioneers. And what's going on with Shin Daddy on a Halloween in Creighton today, Bill?
It's lunch day today. Schindler has installed a, remember the old, like, kind of the GE skillet? He has a skillet set up. Because today for lunch, right there, if you're in a jam, we have the Spam. He's doing Spam sandwiches.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Pork shoulder and ham, meat in a can. And he's doing Spam sandwiches from 11:44 to 1:44. And toasted bread and Spam sandwiches.
Nice.
Yeah. You guys like Spam? I love it.
I'm not a fan.
Oh, I love it.
It's been years and years.
Grilled Spam is incredible.
You're going to kill me. Yeah. You're going to kill me. Now, don't just I've never had it.
You've never had Spam?
No.
In the blue can?
No, I've never had it.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
That's hard to believe.
No, yeah. I never have. My mom, I don't know why my mom never, we never did that.
And we always get from the mailbag, from the 808. In Hawaii, it's extremely popular. Spam should be.
You were just there. You should have had it when you were in Hawaii.
You get Spam with rice on it.
I don't know what to say to you right now.
Yeah, I don't either.
What, is this not a normal conversation, Steve? Yeah.
No.
Just a piece of bacon telling you to eat more Spam in your life?
That's very interesting.
It's a pork-based product, yes.
You are a piece of bacon. All right, now wait. Okay, back to
Hawaii. You can get Spam.
Shin Daddy,
it's
though.
It's 7-Eleven. You get Spam SUB, which is just a Spam piece of Spam with rice on it, basically.
Ooh, that doesn't sound bad.
It's really good. It's really tasty.
Stop.
So Shin Daddy has that today.
If you are just tuning in and you're not on the video stream, I would encourage you to flip there because Mike Schaefer is here for his hour, sponsored by Ben Spurka Farm Bureau. Please call or text Ben at 402-217-9945 for any insurance questions or needs. So I am, of course, concussed too. To my left is a bacon strip, which is Mike Schaefer.
How we doing?
Good, Mike.
It's hard to look at Mike and not, you know,
he's a bacon strip. This was a, was this, did you buy this costume or make it?
I did not make this, no. I just bought it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can buy a bacon strip.
Well, as I told you, it came as a set. I went with my wife to a party a few years ago. She was egg, I was bacon.
Okay.
I mean, so
I like it.
And so now I'm just wearing it randomly here on a Thursday.
The young guys on the show.
Yes, the youth.
The youth is sporty. Well,
Ben's not participating, and Ben's a
Ben told us he hates Halloween. Yeah. I said Bill and Sip can hate Halloween. They
Ben
have
gone Halloween tracks, right?
Yeah.
Like that. If Ben hates Halloween, that makes sense, right?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't. I wouldn't have been like, "Are you kidding me, Ben?" I never would have thought that. I could see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He told me the moment when he was 10 that he told his mom he didn't want to do it. I regarded it with some sadness. He recounted it pretty well. Like, "Mom, I don't want to do this year.
I'm done."
Right? That sounds 10. Like what it was for you about 10 years old. Or was it 6
Yeah, he's a little younger.
It
was just 6. A little younger.
I think you were 6, you said.
I think I only went to like age 6, maybe my mom, 6 to 7, and that was it. I was done.
But I do like this, that these guys, Jake as the concussed Tua, and Mike as a piece of
piece of bacon.
But if I ask you what kind of job Rule is doing, I can't take you seriously.
Yeah, I know.
Look, if you're not willing to listen to analysis from a man sitting in a bacon outfit, then who are you willing to listen to?
We were just wondering.
It's hard.
We were wondering.
Oh, because he's wearing a suit? That man has more to say than I do?
And a bacon guy?
Oh, God. Well done, Schaefer. You do. It's a good outfit there.
It is. Good job by both of you guys.
This took very little time. I said, I need a bandage around my head.
You thought about it since last week.
And Heyman thought I was taking shots at him. I said, I'm not taking shots at you, Heyman. It's Tua. It's concussed Tua. And no, I will not do the fencing thing. That's too far. Ben, that's too far.
Ben wanted something that's a little dead.
No, stop.
Come on, Ben.
Please, guys.
464-568-5
Sports talk.
Or text, as always, you can ask the bacon strip any questions you want here. Yes. Mike Schaefer. Okay, Schaefer, going back to last week, Nebraska was a big underdog to Ohio State. They push him to the brink, lose 21-17. I'm curious, did you walk away pissed about blowing a big opportunity, or were you optimistic about what's going to happen because they played a good team very close?
I mean, I certainly didn't walk away pissed. I didn't the week before with Indiana either, but it's I looked at it as that was more of the version of Nebraska football that I was expecting to see certainly the week before against Indiana. And then I think that it shows that this team has the ability to go line up against some of the best teams and play good football. Like, they're not the version that lost 56-7 exclusively. So because of that, I mean, I think Nebraska has a great opportunity in front of it, obviously, here with UCLA, and then the final three games to finish the season after it. They can kind of rewrite this thing. I mean, no season is exactly what it is based on one game. And so they've now played eight of them. They're 5-3. They have an opportunity. They could finish 9-3, or they can finish 5-7 or somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. If the team that went and played in Columbus shows up for the four games they have left, I think at worst they're going 3-1, if not 4-0.
Okay.
I
mean, okay. So here's the question. It's remarkable to me that you have to turn all the way to me.
To me. It's like a neck brace. It's nice to have a bacon neck brace on.
It's a little...
incredible. Yeah. It's got to be hot, too. It's a little heat.
It's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
Doing great. And I'm going to ask you a serious question here.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bring it.
Please, what are the reasons you can trust this team? Because right now, that's the issue, right?
Let's have that conversation.
What are the reasons you can trust?
There's been eight games. How many games would you say Nebraska hasn't shown up for?
One.
How many games have they been disappointing in? Two.
Two.
Okay. How many games have you largely gotten this version of the team that you thought you were going to get all year? Six.
Six.
So if I'm doing the math on this.
Trust.
I mean, and the one game they didn't show up for, the reason I think it stands out so much to us is that they had 2 weeks to prepare for it. Honestly, if they had lost to Indiana 56-7 at the end of a six-game stretch and didn't have that break in between, mm-hmm. I think we would regard it a little bit differently. It's a fact they were coming off of a bye and then got waxed, and then the team's name is Indiana, and no one expects them to be good at any point in college football. Mm-hmm. So I think all of those things like lead you to this conclusion that none of the rest of the information would. I mean, because I think Nebraska, the Colorado game, Nebraska showed up at Columbus. Like, that defensive line took over that game.
Yes.
Jamari Butler was the best we've seen him all year. He was. Probably because it's the healthiest he's been all year.
Probably.
And if you're getting that, and you can go into Ohio State, and I don't think it's just because they were amped up and juiced up because it was Ohio State. I think they fed off of early success in that game. That fourth down stop.
By invasion.
That put them in a good spot mentally to play the rest of the game.
Ohio State's
because
first possession.
Because that told them that they could play with Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State's first possession, Sherman stopped Trayvon Henderson on 4th-and-1.
I mean, and I think Nebraska's a team that plays off of vibes a lot. If you don't make that kick at the end of half, are they in position in the fourth quarter? You know, like, one, do they have enough points? But sure, but are they in position to be in that game in the fourth quarter if you don't get the huge 54-yard field goal from John Holt? Like, I think they are playing, they're gaining confidence when they played well last
week. Vibes, Bill. I mean, vibes, most teams play off vibes, right?
Yeah, you can, it's
very important.
It's very much, there's a vibe, and there's always interested, too. How interested are certain teams when they play in certain games? Yep. I mean, I have a hard time believing that as the game started out that Alabama was really interested in playing against Vanderbilt.
Right.
They just beat Georgia. They're on the right there. Right. Now we're going to Vanderbilt, whatever. And then all of a sudden, things got a little dicey, and then they couldn't come out of it. Those happen also.
So that could have happened in Nebraska and Indiana, right?
I would hope not. But
you would hope in that one it wouldn't be that would be an interested game because Indiana was undefeated.
Right.
I mean, okay, a good point.
It was the big, Fox big
I get that.
I mean, you can make the argument Ohio State maybe didn't come out and view Nebraska in the light that it should have.
Okay, now what I was suggesting.
And they didn't. There's no way, like I said, when you're playing near Ohio State and you just see Nebraska beat 56-7,
right?
And the film wouldn't have looked good. If you're watching it from an opponent standpoint, it wouldn't have looked good.
I would think early in that game, though, you would realize that you were in a fight. Yeah. Like after...
It's really hard to turn it back on.
Well, that's got to be true.
All of a sudden, Sipple knows it from boxing. He's probably like, I should probably beat this guy. And the guy beats the crap out of me in the first round. Probably lost like, oh, wow.
Never had that happen. But
Hold on.
I wasn't suggesting that. All I was suggesting against Indiana was the vibe got bad early.
Oh, yeah.
What Rule has said is that game got out of whack.
I mean, it was 14-7, and you needed your defense to come up with a stop, and Indiana went right down and scored again. The offense did nothing. Indiana goes right down, and then the game's over.
Pretty much over.
I also think Nebraska is almost the ultimate game flow of where if it's close, they can hang in there. I don't think Nebraska can play with anybody. They're down by two or more scores for the most part.
Well, now, you think they would be able to...
Because of the defense.
No, well, and because of Raiola. Raiola should be able to get you back in.
I thought that of September, Raiola. It's hard right now based off of the last three games to think that their passing attack can bring them back.
Well, and it's not all Raiola because we've pointed out.
And I don't mean it's just all him.
And they don't throw downfield very well right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're...
Explosive plays.
They're not there in the passing game. And then the frustrating thing is when they have shown up, when Jamal Banks is wide open, he just misses the throw.
Missed the throw. Sped up. Rule says he sped up. He says that Raiola sometimes sees things before a lot of people would and just kind of speeds up.
Wants to make it.
Nebraska went the entire month of October without a passing touchdown.
Yeah, that's concerning.
No passing touchdowns in the month of October.
And what, five interceptions?
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Four or five. Yeah, one of the
I think he had three against Indiana and one against Rutgers and Ohio State each. So
back to that original question. You seem to trust this team.
Yeah, but I mean, so it's a combination of I believed in the team before the year. Mm-hmm. I felt like their loss against Illinois was being caught on a day where they weren't crisp. And Illinois, I thought, played a really good football game.
They did.
And I know they got waxed by Oregon. But I think that's a solid Big Ten team. Like, I don't think that's as bad of a loss as they got made
out. It's a good way to put Illinois. It's a solid Big Ten team.
And Nebraska just did. And they still had a chance to win that game. That's the other thing. It's not like it's not the Indiana game. So Indiana's the only game where they didn't have an opportunity to win out of their nine games this year.
Okay.
And so for me, I look at UCLA and USC and Wisconsin and Iowa, and I see four teams that are flawed, that aren't playing perfect football, that Nebraska potentially could get all of them into one-dimensional on offense, and that bodes well for your defense. And I think they're going to have opportunities. I mean, are probably Wisconsin, Iowa going to be close in late games where you have to eliminate mistakes and not beat yourself? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do I think Nebraska can do that? I do. I mean, have we seen it enough? No, we haven't. But I believe that they have the ability to do
it. How much does it help Nebraska that it seems like Fedoni is coming on the last
Yeah, I mean, that's
games.
A notable part of the passing offense. But I think that's a product of not being able to get the ball to your outside wide receivers. So you're now working inside, and Fedoni's done a nice job, and he's taken advantage of opportunities there. And this is kind of more of what I expected from him, but I'm still concerned about the health of the passing offense overall. I mean, they had 63 completions in the month of October. 23 of them went for 4 yards or less. 10 of them went for 0 yards or less. 8 of them went for negative yards.
You're throwing a lot of numbers at me. You do that again.
Yeah. So 63 completions in the month of October.
Okay.
For their passing game across the three games. So an average of 21 a game.
Okay.
Of those 63, 23 of them went for 4 yards or less.
23.
That is 37% if you want the math on it. That's a lot. That's not good.
That's a lot, Mr. Bacon.
Of Bacon do math.
The Baconator.
Bacon does math.
Yes.
It's not turkey bacon either. That's real bacon.
10 of the 63 went for 0 yards or lost yards. 8 of the 63 lost yards exclusively.
Jeez.
Like, that is not good.
No. That is startling.
Yeah.
That is enough to go back and listen to our YouTube thing. Interesting.
I make the speech today.
Another question.
I can write the numbers out for you. So
you might do that.
Watch the segment.
Question
for Bill. This might sound very elementary to you, but when you recruit receivers, are you looking for guys that can beat man coverage?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It's kind of like when sometimes you're looking at sacks. You'll see, like, watch a guy in high school film. Yeah, hit four sacks in this game. No one blocked him.
Yeah.
No one blocked. He had two sacks, and no one even saw that he was there. They don't count. You want to see when they actually beat a protection. Like we talked about, the Ohio State had a sack in the game, you know, and he's going crazy and waving his finger and stuff over at the sideline like that. No one blocked him. I mean, so we have to look at those things. Same thing on offense. It's like when you're watching the receivers, like what plays does he make when man covers, competitive situations? What plays does he make in big games? Don't watch the game of like they won this game 56-0 against somebody. It's like, well, these guys are horrible. Watch what's he doing big games. All those different scenarios
come
up.
I'm watching receivers. I think I'd watch receivers when they're pressed by a good corner. Mm-hmm. What do they do in high school?
Absolutely.
When they're manned
sometimes
up.
You don't see a lot of it.
I don't see a lot of high school.
You don't see a lot of it.
You see a lot of zone in high school.
Especially when that receiver is potentially a Division I guy. Right. You're looking at Nebraska. That would mean like they're kind of like, well, this guy's got numerous offers. Do I really want to get up there and press him? Do I have a guy that can do that? So you don't see a lot of
okay.
And the ability to.
And I don't know, and Bill would have a better answer on this than I would, but I think a lot of teams don't play a ton of man-to-man press coverage in college football as it is.
UCLA does.
I think it happens, yeah, but it's not. I don't know that it's Rutgers the most
played,
common.
Rutgers played press quarters,
yeah,
which you can do that. You can play press quarters. And then,
what does that mean?
You can press the outside. In quarters, it's real simple. The field is quartered up. So if four guys go vertical, mm-hmm. these four guys got them vertical. That's okay. How you, but you don't have help, not deep. You can get isolated in spots. But you can play press quarters. Now, to get out of press quarters, then if you line up in stacks and some different things, now you can't play that coverage. So by formation and movements and unique ideas, you can get them out of press situations.
Jake is grinning like a Cheshire cat over there.
People are commenting on the YouTube about the bacon strip.
The bacon.
They like the bacon strip. That's why I was
you're handling this well.
I just love it.
How would I not handle it?
I can think is that his neck's very sore.
It's really bad. Yeah.
No,
is that part of the bacon?
No, it's
really
when you turn.
You know,
it's when you turn. You have that kind of look like you're very very tense.
You might consider
just think like I'm an old fullback. And yes. I have that cowboy collar on.
Yeah, cowboy collar. Yep.
Jake and Mike are sporting Halloween outfits.
We are. Schaefer, before we get to break, I'm go back to the Ohio State game. And you mentioned this already, but the kick and the vibes. But yep. John Hall goes 3-for-3 in the game. We had not seen signs of that at all this season. He was 1-for-5 entering. It had been a complete problem with the snap, the whole everything of the unit was wrong. And they go 3-for-3 at Columbus. Where did that come from? And do you believe now that you have to see it again to believe that this week, or are you buying in that it's fixed?
So I have no idea where that came from other than his foot. And the coolest part about those three field goals is none of them were close to missing.
Down the middle.
If you like overlaid all three of those, they're all basically hitting the same kind of center spot in the middle of the uprights, which is fantastic. I mean, if that can transfer, if that's what Nebraska has moving forward, I think kind of one of the under-discussed parts of where Nebraska has really struggled is that they move the ball on offense when they get inside the opponent's 40 is when everything seems to fall apart. If you're getting 3 points 80% of the time over these next four games, that is a huge boon to your offense because you're expecting most of these games, particularly the final two, to be relatively low scoring. So if you're walking out with points when you're getting on the other side of the field – instead of what was happening against Purdue and what was happening against Rutgers and what happened against Indiana. And they got those points against Ohio State. That game was close. You stuck in that game. I mean, I think that is such a big part of all of it that even if the offense doesn't return to what it looked like in September, you can still win games with this defense if you're able to make some field goals and if you convert in key situations for touchdowns. I mean, you still have to finish with touchdowns. But if you can walk away with 3 points instead of nothing like they've done many times this year, that's a huge lift for this team.
Yes, it is. It was a huge lift in the first half. There's no doubt that that had to lift the team because they're very invested in Hole. Yep. You hear them talk
They've been very complimentary of him. They talk about like how big of a leg he had. And, you know, for me, it was going in one ear and out the other because every kick I had seen, either the snap was so bad that he couldn't really get a good, you know, boot on it, or the kick itself just looked like whatever. And then against Ohio, it was like they ran out.
Yeah.
Do we know for sure that was John Hall? Like, did they sneak somebody else in there?
That was Maher. It was actually Maher.
Was it Halloween started early and he was in a John Hall?
Slipped on a uniform.
Yeah.
No, that was John Hall. And the guys like him. And well, they've supported him.
I mean, I would like anybody that makes a 54-yard field goal on the road.
Oh, God,
basically
yes.
Alleviated, you know, the Big Ten situation would look a lot worse had Nebraska not gotten points out of that.
Got to 14-6. John Holt just cranked a 54-yarder.
Down the middle. Like you said, wasn't close to missing.
They didn't move a lot either. I mean, you were there. Mm-hmm. I know you were probably watching. Gus Johnson was trying to act like the 47 in the second half, like it was going to be short or something. He made that thing with like a good 10 extra yards.
They did. Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, they've said all along he has a strong leg.
Yeah.
It was, there were other matters.
Well, I think the snapping probably had a lot more to do with it than the actual foot of John Hole.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
The ball against Purdue was laying on the ground as it was getting to the hole.
it went in the ground.
Not ideal.
I don't coach special teams, but I know that's probably not the best route to getting Bill the ball does. To your hole.
The question I would have for Bill, I don't know why I've never asked you this. Do you expect a kicker, can a kicker drill a 54-yarder if the ball's not perfectly held? Do you expect him to do it?
It's possible, but the difficulty goes way up. The hold is so important. The snap is so important. All those things, like you said. And also, like I've talked about on the show, is that, you know, the change that we made after visiting with the Ravens and different people was to be more extended away from the ball so that when you catch the ball, the kicker can see the ball the whole time. If the ball gets snapped into the holder's body, now the kicker has no vision of the ball. He has to go from here to here extremely fast. If it's out here, it's like, boom, I see the ball the entire time.
The risk is that it goes too wide, probably, right? The risk is that it goes too wide.
But if you're a good snapper, the ball should be every time right here. Strike zone. Even if it's a little bit out, they can get it back in. But that was one thing that was a change later on in my career of change to be able to have those guys see it.
See it.
Just watch. You see the ball get snapped into their bodies. People always be like, no, it's nice. It's in the body, so now it's protected. It's just absolutely wrong because now the kicker has no view of the ball whatsoever.
Was there a reason that it was the Ravens specifically that where you just happened to be at an event that they were having, or is it because John Harbaugh is a former special teams coach?
No, the punter, Sam Cook.
Sam Cook. Oh, okay.
Sam Cook was the holder.
So
I was just
We're talking about Justin Tucker. John Harbaugh is the head coach. He's a former special team. I just thought there was something else to it.
So I spoke with him,
Sam Cook,
about it before that. And then when he retired from the Ravens, I was there for his retirement.
Okay.
So I was out there for his retirement out in Baltimore.
Jeez, you handled this so well.
Yeah.
I took you seriously 70% of the time in that conversation.
I'm proud of you. I did. I'll take that. That's good.
On YouTube, Troy says, my dogs keep looking at the TV and wagging their tails. Shafe must look delicious to them.
I am not a begging
strip. Dogs are coming for you, Shafe.
You're a dog treat.
When we come back, Bill's thrill is on early break on the ticket.